As employers dip deeper into the pool of available labor, workers are coming off the economy's sidelines. David Boggs is president and CEO of Opportunity for Work and Learning, or OWL, in Lexington, Kentucky, where he leads over 100 employees, along with the OWL Foundation and Paddock Development Group, a for-profit company owned by OWL. David serves as president of the Franklin County Agency for Substance Abuse Policy and Kentucky Faith-Based Coalition, in addition to numerous boards and committees throughout Kentucky involved with economic development, education, reentry, and rehabilitation. We thank you for joining us, David Boggs.
Thank you, Tom.
And first, if you could tell us what OWL does.
Thank you. OWL is a nonprofit agency that began in 1961 with a mission of helping individuals with barriers to employment and providing employment opportunities for them. Since that time, approximately 250 individuals every year receive our services to help them get their lives on track so they can become independent and self-sufficient.
And I know that you have recently launched some programs that we were talking about before the interview began. Could you kind of touch on all those?
Yes. Over the years, OWL has always strived to enter into new arenas to help our clients or employees become better fitted for their career path in life. And so recently, we have launched a new program through the City of Lexington for their economic development, a reentry program for anyone not just necessarily reentering from the court systems, but also if they've been out of employment for a while. So we started that program. We've also started a program for SNAP participants. And for those not familiar with that, that's for the new term for individuals that are receiving food stamps to help them with assistance. That's Supplemental Needs Assistance Program. And we are helping those individuals become employable and get back into the workforce, as well as another program for out-of-school youth 16 to 24 years old through the Department of Labor from Washington that flows through the Area Workforce Board. And that's to help them become employable ready, and whether it means going back to school or trade school or Job Corps, whatever it is, to help them get their life on track.
And what is your service area? What region do you cover?
Our main focus service area is in Lexington. However, we also provide services through some of our programs at OWL through 15 counties within the Bluegrass region.
Okay, you've just touched on some of them, but what sorts of barriers are the individuals who come to OWL looking to overcome in order to find a job?
Individuals coming to OWL may have a physical disability, it may be a mental barrier, or it may be a social barrier. The pathway is pretty wide open because of the needs that our services provide assistance for, but we are willing to help them get whatever pathway they needed, and all individuals receive individualized assistance.
And can you give us some examples of how you work with these folks and how you help them overcome these barriers?
One of the biggest barriers that everybody coming to our organization has is just daily work skills. And we hear soft skills all the time, and now we're referring to it as essential skills in the job market. That means we want to help the individuals coming to be better prepared by showing up to work on time, being able to communicate with others, having basic reading and math skills, and being able to work together as a team. Even individuals that have been incarcerated for some time, they come to us and they haven't had to make those types of decisions. So we help them get their life back on track by getting them through our manufacturing environment through Paddock Development Group, or better known as Lexington Manufacturing Center.
Now, it's been a while since our economy in this country has experienced such fierce competition for workers. You have to go all the way back to the late 1990s, the early 2000s. Last time the unemployment rate was this low was around 2000. It went down as far as 3.8%. It's now about 4.1%. The New York Times recently reported that this is forcing companies across the country to consider workers that they once would have turned away, people who have long faced barriers to employment, such as criminal records or disabilities. How are these tight labor market conditions influencing OWL's relationships with employers in the area?
OWL is finding a great number of employers are now looking in new ways of getting their employees, because the labor market is so slim right now. And the reality of it is that anyone that really wants to go back to work right now can go back to work at a job that is best fitted for their abilities, whether that be a physical disability or a mental disability or a barrier called reentering after incarceration. And Al has these relationships with over 75 employers within our region that will employ someone that may be reentering the workforce after incarceration. A lot of times employers are hesitant to do this at first, but they find after they work with these individuals that they make great employees and they are truly ready for a second chance in their career.
An example cited in that Times article is Dane County, Wisconsin. That's Madison, Wisconsin. And the unemployment rate in Dane County was just 2% in November. So demand for workers there has grown so intense that manufacturers are now hiring inmates at full wages to work in factories even while they are still serving their prison sentences. The state officials in Wisconsin say it's giving inmates a chance to build some savings, to learn vocational skills, and prepare for life after prison. Are you seeing this happening in Kentucky?
Yes, we're seeing this happen in Kentucky as well, because we are finally coming to grips with the fact that when someone is released from incarceration, because 99% of those incarcerated in our state will be released, if we do not provide them with some type of job skills or some type of transitional reentry skills, they will recidivate. And so just for statistics alone, during 2012 to 2016, our prison population in Kentucky grew by 54%. Ironically, the number of women incarcerated is growing over 10% during that time. And so we have to do something. And so employers are saying, hey, how can I help? How can I change my rules? How can we work together? And so the Department of Corrections in Frankfort is looking for new innovative ideas, and they're looking to some of these other states to see what they're being successful with.
Well, I'm just wondering how you manage something like this. How is somebody who is currently serving time for breaking the law successfully integrated into a workforce of law-abiding citizens? How does that work?
It's up to the individual employer who they work with, and sometimes they're very hesitant. But we have a very good employment transition program at Al through our manufacturing program. We currently have nearly 60 employees, and 50% of those have some kind of criminal background of misdemeanors or felony convictions. And so we get them there, we get them stabilized, we help them build a new resume that proves that they're work ready. And then when we present them to an employer, they go, oh, they're worth looking at. Because if they can get employment, health care, and housing, they can be successful reentering. And employers are glad to welcome them.
Is there criteria that an inmate has to meet in order to qualify? For example, a violent offender, for example, might not qualify, I would assume.
Violent offenders are very tricky in placing. However, there are some companies that still do not even do background checks. I know that's hard to believe, but it does happen. The most challenging individuals to place, unfortunately, are those that have sex offender status, because people are really wary about employing them. And certainly that's to be understood under particular circumstances. But for our typical drug offenders and that population, we can find them employment once they prove that they are work ready and have been clean and sober.
Does the working inmate receive all of that paycheck, or does a portion go to corrections to offset costs?
That situation depends on institution to institution in our state. Certainly, there are programs within the prison system where they do different types of job training, and they get paid for that. The bigger portion of that goes to the facility itself, because they are bearing the expense of that individual. But the inmate themselves do get part of that money to assist with their reentry needs and help them restitution-wise. at OWL, when someone comes to us from a facility such as the Dismas Center, they get to keep the majority of their paycheck and only have to pay the Dismas charities or that organization where they're staying for their support there. However, OWL does not charge anything to anyone for their services that we provide.
Burning Glass Technologies, that's a Boston-based software company that analyzes job market data, and they have found an increase in postings open to people without experience, and unemployment rates have fallen sharply in recent years for people with disabilities or without a high school diploma. And again, that's a national trend. What's the story on the local and regional level?
In the last few years, we are seeing that trend here as well. For instance, one of our big distribution centers here in Lexington during the holiday seasons are hiring individuals without a high school diploma. We're also seeing that in some other companies as well, because they are looking for people that are dependable, that will show up for work on time and do the job, have those essential skills regardless of their background. And that's all becoming a trend because of the unemployment rate being so low.
Are you seeing, David Boggs, are you seeing firsthand lives being changed by these dynamics?
Yes. You know, the real crux of this is that people do want to work. There's always the group that doesn't, but the majority of people want to work. They want to better their lives. And that's what OWL is all about. It's so exciting to see someone come in that doesn't have a home, that's couch surfing or going from place to place or job to job and get the stability there and then better their life by first getting a place to live on their own, then being able to get their own transportation, and then getting those checks and being able to do things that they wanted to do or at one time in their life they've done, but because of it being incarcerated, they had lost all of those benefits.
And it can be all kinds of circumstances that lead to that kind of situation, can't it? It doesn't necessarily have to have been prison, a job loss.
No. It can be a job loss. It can be a long-term health condition that has put someone out on the street. Sometimes we're just too quick to judge individuals and not really knowing what their circumstances have been.
Before I let you go, David, I wanted to touch on something that comes up now and then that I personally really admire, and I think a lot of people do, and that's the concept of what's called servant leadership. And I think you might fall into that category. Are you comfortable with that description? And if you are, can you tell us what it means to you?
You know, I've never really considered myself as a servant leader, but I've always been committed to helping other individuals. And I think as we look around and we see how fortunate we are based on how we see someone else, and if we everyone strive to make someone better, we would be a servant leader without even recognizing that. And I think we see a whole lot of people in our society today wanting to be a servant leader, but are looking for someone to point them in the right direction. And sometimes it's just a matter of connecting the dots, knowing who to call to help someone out, who to help them with employment, who to help them find transportation. It's amazing the calls that I get personally that say, hey, can you help me? Can you guide me? And all they want is someone to listen to and someone to give them the next step on their journey. And I'm happy to do that. Always, because when we help someone else, in the long run, we're helping ourselves as well.
David Boggs is president and CEO of Opportunity for Work and Learning, or OWL, in Lexington, Kentucky. Thank you for being with us, David.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity.
This podcast is produced in the studios of Dynamics Productions, an audio recording and sound design facility in Lexington. On the web at dxaudio.com. Dynamics Productions. We listen.